In the last class of the Warren County Radio Bible School, we begin a study in Acts chapter 3 about the cripple at the beautiful gate. And we're going to continue that study today. The reading is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. But we read almost the entirety of that chapter, and it is much like Acts chapter 2, as we shall see as we continue in this study. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Exodus 15:26. For I am Jehovah that healeth thee. And the devotional reading is Luke 4:16-30. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the words of grace that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Doubtless you will say unto me this parable, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also in thine own country. And he said, Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But of a truth, I say unto you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land, and unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And they were all filled with wrath in the synagogue as they heard these things. And they rose up and cast him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And we're going to return from that devotional reading to the reading in Acts chapter 2. And we read that Peter was teaching at Solomon's porch. Let me read to you a little bit about Solomon's porch in the old temple. On this porch, McGarvey says, the structure that is here called a porch was a colonnade constructed along the inner face of the enclosing wall of the outer court. It consisted, according to Josephus, of rows of stone columns 27 feet high with a roof of cedar resting on them. And on the wall, so as to constitute a covered portico, with its inner side open toward the temple. On the eastern side of the court, there were 2 rows of these columns, making that portico 60 feet deep and as long as the wall, which Josephus estimates as a furlong, though its exact measurement today is 1,530 feet. Across the southern end, which now measures 922 feet, there were 4 rows of columns, making 3 walks or passages between them, each 30 feet deep, and consequently the depth of the portico was 90 feet. These immense covered portico, or cloisters, as Josephus called them, served as a protection from the sun in the summer and from the rain in the winter. They contained space sufficient for the great multitude of the disciples when assembled in one mass, and also for many separate meetings of large numbers to listen to different preachers speaking at the same time. All the 12 apostles might be preaching in them at the same hour, each to a large audience, and yet far enough apart to avoid confusion of sound. In which of these porticos the present meeting was held, we cannot tell, because we're not informed as to which was distinguished by the name Solomon's, this being, of course, an honorary title. And so the healing of the lame man furnished another great occasion for the preaching of Christ and him crucified unto the people. For when all the people knew of this, they ran together unto Peter and John in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, under the explanatory notes, we have a subheading called Sweet Hour of Prayer. That reminds me of that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me. From this world of sorrows, it carries us. It calls me from this world of care. That's how it goes. When I think of a sweet hour of prayer, I think of prayer as a word that stands for our entire worship. I really like to sing that song sometime at the beginning of our worship. It is an hour of prayer. We read in Acts chapter 3, and in verse 1, now Peter and John were going into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. This miracle is introduced here because it marks the beginning of a series of persecutions which followed and which terminated when Saul of Tarsus was converted. It was one of the many mentioned in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, which filled the people with solemn awe and reverence. It was admitted by the enemies of the church to be a notable miracle, which they could not deny, and whose influence must be counteracted in some way. We'll read about the opposition to the apostles because of this miracle in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were the leading apostles in this story. The hour of prayer was the third hour. That would be 9 o'clock in the forenoon, and the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then it was supposed the morning and evening sacrifice were offered and incense was burned. The Jews connected the burning of incense with the hour of prayer. The whole multitude of people were praying about the hour of incense in Luke chapter 1 and verse 10. This was the custom, and Peter and John observed this custom. The temple service was not at once abandoned by the apostles and other Jewish Christians, and probably not fully until the destruction of the temple. The apostles may have used this time too as a fit opportunity for teaching the people concerning Jesus and his kingdom. And indeed, a notable miracle was done. Acts chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. This man was lame from his birth. He had never walked. He must be carried upon the loving hands of others. His inability to walk seemed to be in his feet and ankle bones, according to verse 7. He was, when healed, more than 40 years old, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 22. All this made it indeed a notable miracle. It was done in daylight, at the most public place, and just when a multitude was passing in at the hour of prayer. He was well known, and the people easily recognized him after he was healed as the one who sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Verse 10, it was the custom of his friends to place him there daily. Hence those passing would soon become familiar with his appearance. Josephus says, that there were 9 gates to the temple. The others were of equal size. This one was larger. He describes it as its height was 50 cubits and its doors 40 cubits, and it was adorned after the most costly manner, with much richer and thicker plates of silver and gold than the others. This last was probably the gate called Beautiful. It was broader than the others and was the most common entrance to the temple. It was thought to have been on the east side of the temple. The lame beggar was placed there because he would see more people. Besides, when the people went to worship in the temple, they carried money to put into the treasury and to give to the poor. When Peter and John passed, he asked an alms of them as of the rest. And we read how he was healed. Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Where it says in verse 4, Acts 3, 4, Peter with John looking straight and intently on him, and they said, "Look on us." They desired his entire attention. They knew they would heal him and wanted him to know that it was not they who were but men who did it. And so in verse 5, he gave heed unto them. That is, he did what they told him, expecting nothing more than alms. But in verse 6, as usual, Peter spoke first, declaring that he had no silver and gold, but offering to bestow on him such a blessing as he possessed. Then Peter directed his attention to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that he and John acted in Christ's name and by his authority. So he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." In verse 7, Peter accompanied his command to walk by the action of extending his hand and taking the lame man by the right hand and lifting him up. This man saw from the earnest countenance of Peter and John that they meant what they said. When one attempts to obey God, God always gives him the needed assistance. But it is God's way that man should do all in his power. Encouraged by this action of Peter, the lame man made an effort to arise, and the blessing of God came with the attempt. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. In verse 8, perceiving his newly gained strength, he leaped up and stood as he had never done this before. He first stood and well poised. He then walked and then leaped, following the apostles on into the temple, praising God for his newly received strength and wonderful blessing. He realized the blessing came from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Looking to the days of Jesus, Isaiah 35, 5 and 6 says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." And this had an effect on the people. It says in Acts chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, "All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they took knowledge of him that it was he that sat at alms at the beautiful gate in the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together and to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." We'll look at lessons from this story in our next Bible class.